The items on the list to discuss was whether a person could put on tefillin while wearing a wristwatch. Can you put tefillin on over a watch or a Fitbit or something like that? So let's discuss some basic rules of chatzitza and how they apply to the halachas of tefillin. Generally speaking, there is a concept called chatzitza by certain areas of halacha, like when a person goes to the mikvah, when a person washes netilas yadayim, and perhaps when a person puts on tefillin, that you're not allowed to have a davar achotzeitz, something that's an interposition between your body and that which your body is supposed to be coming in contact with, like the water of the mikvah, or the water of netilas yadayim, or the tefillin. So generally speaking, things that interpose are a chatzitza. Yet, there are exceptions. There are certain items that could be an interposition between your body and that which your body is supposed to come in contact with, and yet do not constitute a chatzitza, do not constitute a problem. For example, min bimino eino chotzeitz. When something is the same min, as it's made from the same material as that which it's supposed to connect to, it would not be a chatzitza. So if a tefillin is made out of leather, and you have a patch of leather, so maybe the leather would not constitute a chatzitza. That which is min bimino is eino chotzeitz. If a person has some other type of water, not me mikvah, but something else that halachically has the status of water, wrapped around some part of their body, that would not have the din of a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, for example, that fish skins have a din like water for whatever reason when it comes to the mikvah. So if you have like a fish skin around your actual skin, it's min bimino, it's considered to be eino chotzeitz. Another example of something that's not a chatzitza is kol lina'oso eino chotzeitz. That which is meant to be decorative, to make something more beautiful, is not going to be a chatzitza. And then the most famous exception to the halacha of chatzitza, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah that a miut she'eino makbid is eino chatzitza. And if you have something that covers just a tiny part of your body, and it's something you're never makbid about, you don't mind ever having it there, it never bothers you, it never gets in your way, so that would not be a chatzitza. The halacha is, on a daraisa level, something's only chatzitza if it's rove, umakbid, it covers the majority of your body, and there are times that you wouldn't want it there. So for example, if a woman wanted to go to the mikvah and she showed up to the mikvah in full scuba gear, that would be a chatzitza mita oraisa, because scuba gear covers the majority of her body, her entire body, and it's something that she's makbid about. Even though she's not so makbid, she doesn't mind having it when she goes scuba diving, but when she does other things, like when she goes to a chasana, she doesn't like to wear scuba gear so much. So that's considered makbid, because there are times that she would not be interested in having it there. And then the Gemara says, midrabanan, if something is either rove or makbid, it's a chatzitza. If something either covers the majority of the body, or it's something that you're makbid about, midrabanan, that would be a chatzitza. It's only when it's miut she'eino makbid, only then is it not a chatzitza, even midrabanan. The Gemara explains, because rov she'eino makbid and miut hamakbid are both only dinim drabanan, so we can only make one gzeira, we cannot make a gzeira l'gzeira. So if a woman, for example, wants to go to the mikveh, and then after she comes out of the mikveh, she finds some teeny tiny speck of nail polish that, if you look really, really closely, was still left in the corner of her fingernail or something, so she would never be makbid about it, because no one could even see it unless you hold it up through a magnifying glass, and it's over a very tiny part of her body, that would not be a chatzitza at all, because it is a miut she'eino makbid. So that's another exception to the rule of chatzitza. So now, let's go to tefillin. Where on the arm is one not allowed to have a chatzitza between their tefillin and their body? So the Gemara Megillah Daf Chavdalar and Beis tells us that chatzitza will passel by tefillin shel yad, and wearing tefillin over your sleeve is kederech hachitzonim sheinu ma'aminim b'kabbalas chazal. That's considered to be derech hachitzonim. That is not something that one should ever do. Where does that come from? So there's a Tshuvas HaRash and Klal Gimel Simin Dalid who says that it's derived from the pasuk. Teaches us that since the tefillin is supposed to be al yadech, it's supposed to be on your arm, that teaches us there can't be a chatzitza, there can't be anything in between your arm and the tefillin. That's very similar to the drasha that Chazal have in Maseches Zvachim on Daf Yotes. The Gemara says, "Ubig day bad yilbash al besaro shelo yedavar chotzeitz between the big day kuhuna and the basar of the kohen." Since it's it says that the big devat have to be al besaro of the kohen. So we learn from there that you cannot have a chatzitza between the big de kuhuna and the kohen's body. So the kohen can't wear like other garments that are in between his body and the big de kuhuna, nor can he have anything that's chotzeitz, bandages or whatever, anything that would be chotzeitz between his body and the big de kuhuna. So the same halacha, says the Tshuva Sarash, applies to tefillin, since it's supposed to be al yadecha. So the Chida in Birkei Yosef points out that since that's the source for the Yisra Chatzitza b'tefillin, you don't really have a heter of miyut she'eno makbid, because even the tiniest chatzitza would take away the sense of al besaro that we look to have, meaning it's not about general dinam of chatzitza, it's a gzeres hakosov of al besaro that it needs to be direct. So you could take all your exceptions and throw them out the window. It needs to be mamish al besaro. And the Avnei Nezer and the Tshuva and Simin Yadalit says even min bimino would be a problem by tefillin, because again, all of these exceptions are as far as dinei chatzitza are concerned. But when it comes to tefillin, it's more than just dinei chatzitza. It's al besaro. It's got to be on your al yadecha. It's got to be on your arm. The Piskei Tshuvos even quotes Poskim that we should even avoid things that are l'nai, meaning all three exceptions are out the window. It's got to be direct. Other Poskim, however, say that tefillin works with regular dinei chatzitza, that we're not going to be more machmir by dinei chatzitza and tefillin than we will be by other areas, like by tevila b'mikvah and netilas yadayim or anything else. The Tehila l'David in Sifkatam Gimel says that it's tzorich iyun gadol lidmos tefillin in the Big Day Kuhuna. To compare tefillin to Big Day Kuhuna doesn't really make much sense. V'lachein ein lachush l'min b'mino kigon b'ritzuos tefillin sholchem tachas habayis. Therefore, you do not need to be choshesh for a chatzitz of min b'mino, like, for example, if you have ritzuos of your tefillin running underneath the bayis of the tefillin. You can't have a chatzitz between the bayis and your body, right? But what if you have a ritzuah, the way you tie it, you borrowed a lefty's tefillin or something, so you're all confused, or someone Ashkenaz fired, whatever, and you end up running the ritzuos under the bias of the tefillin, that's min bimino, eino chotzeitz, because the ritzuos are also made out of leather just like the bias, and therefore it's eino chotzeitz according to the Tehila L'David. Furthermore, even though the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quote the Shlach HaKadosh that you should wash your head before putting on tefillin, so you don't have any dirt in your head, not to have a chatzitza, they don't emphasize the need to dry off any water that's on your head. So the Pischei Tshuvin Yardeas in Kuf Tzadiches of Katan Chav Gimel, in the context of a woman who's Tavelas, quotes a Tshuvas Pnei Aryeh that white powder on the hair is not a chatzitza because it's lanoi. It used to be that people would powder their wig or whatever, they would powder their hair to make it look, I guess, to look more dignified, to look more white. You may notice I have some white hair. It's because I do that also. I try to make myself look older. But if that's lanoi, it's in order to give a look of dignity. So that's a not going to be a chatzitza. Okay, so now that we know that we have this machlokas, whether dinei chatzitza by tefillin are more machmir than regular dinei chatzitza, or they follow the regular dinei chatzitza, now we need to discuss where can't you have a chatzitza on the tefillin? Does that run all the way from the top of the arm all the way down to your fingers, or does it stop at some point where the halach is that you can't have a chatzitza? So there is a tshuvas ha-rashba in Simin Taf Chaf Zayin, where he says that no, only by the makom ha-ktsitza, meaning the place of the bias where the parshios are located, can you not have a chatzitza. But by the ritzuos, you're allowed to have a chatzitza. And then he concludes that this is lahalacha, but lemaisa, you should follow the minhag. And the minhag is in line with the advice of the Yerushalmi in Maaser Sheni Perkei Halacha Beis, that kol halacha shirofefes biyadecha tzeirei hechatzibur noeg unahog bokein, that you should see wherever you're not sure what the halacha is, follow what the minhag is, and the minhag is to be more machmir than just by the bayis. The Ramah in Simul Chav Zayin Sifbeis paskins that there's no din chatzitza by the ritzuos. So the Taz asks on the Ramah that the basis for that psak is the Rashba. But wait a second, the Rashba himself said, don't follow this psak, follow the minhag. So two answers. The Magen Avraham defends the Rama that the Rashba's objection was only to putting it over the beged, But to have some small impediment is not a problem, even lemaisa. When the Rashba got excited and said, oh, don't follow the halacha, you have to be more machmir than the halacha, he was talking about if you're going to have like a sleeve that you put over your forearm or something like that. So don't do that. But if you happen to have a little something there, that's not going to be a big deal, even according to the Rashba. Rav Avadya Yosef, and where I got all these makaros from, actually, in Shalos Shubas Yichav Das, Chelek Gimel Simen Beis, says, based on the Stechemed, in Kolei HaPoskim, Simen Tez Zayin Os Membav, Stechemed was an encyclopedia of Halacha. Before the encyclopedia Talmudit, so the Stechemed is fascinating. In his introduction, he explains why he's allowed to call the Sefer Stechemed. Because Ste, he spells Shin, Dalet, and Yud. So it looks like it's the Shem Hashem. So how are you allowed to do that? So he explains why it's not really the Shem Hashem, because it's obvious that it's only Ste, it's not Shakai. Okay, anyway, so Rav Avadya quotes the Stechemed that Tzadikim often say that their Psakim are Halacha v'lo l'maisa, but that's just Derech Hanava. And Ukshadvar Mirim he says, you know why the Ramah paskins like the Rashba? Because even though the Rashba himself doesn't paskin like the Rashba, the Rashba was just being humble. Meaning he said that the Rashba said, you don't have to worry about a chatzitza anywhere but the bais. That's the halacha. And then he said, yeah, but apparently other people disagree. So, you know, who am I? And, you know, follow the minag, and I don't want to rock the boat too much. So says the Stechemed, that's the derech of tzaddikim, to talk like that. But we know that the Rashba's really right, and therefore the Rama's allowed to say, the Rashba's right, so I'm going to follow the Rashba. And that's why the Rama passes like the Rashba, that you're only now allowed to have a chatzitza underneath the bias of the tefillin. In Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Simul Chav Zayin, he says there's a chatzitza problem on the upper part of the arm where you need the kshira to hold the tefillin in place. But after one wrap around the arm, then it's totally fine. Meaning chatzitza is in the place, not just by the bias, but wherever that first wrap that really holds the bias in place. That's where there's a chatzitza problem. Once you're further down and you're just following some minug of seven straps or six and two halves or six, whatever your minug is, or seven and a half, whatever your minug is of how many times to wrap around, that's just all minhagim. That doesn't really hold the tefillin in place, and that's perfectly fine to have a chatzitza in such a place. So that brings us to the question of wearing a watch or wearing a Fitbit. Just one second, let's get through. So Rav Avadya writes about the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rav was an extraordinary genius. He was actually, for a while, he wasn't even working as a Rav. He was working, he had a regular job, but he was the Gadol Adar and had a regular job. And then ultimately he gave up the business. Someone gave, I think it says in the biography, the Chabina Rav, that he got a bracha, I forget from who, but a big tzaddik gave him a bracha that his business should fail, so that he couldn't do what he's meant to do, to be in learning the whole time and not be involved in business. And the bracha was mekuyam, and he was able to dedicate himself to Torah. So Rav Avadya writes that he once met the Chabina Rav, and he says that in Chuvas Dovav Mesharim, the Chabina Rav writes in Chelet Pei Simon Lamed Zayin to be machmir, not to put on tefillin over a watch. So Rav Avadya writes, Ukeshezachisi lekabel pnei shchina bechayim chiyuso. When I was zochet, look how he talks about the Chabina Rav. When I was zochet to be mekabel pnei shchina while he was alive, vishtashati imo b'divrei Torah, and I was able to enjoy speaking and learning with him, heirosi b'zel divrei kacho. I pointed out that his tshuva seems difficult. Mimashay v'enu rayus lahati b'shal tshuvas Yabiyo Omer Chelek Beis. I pointed out that in Yabiyo Omer Chelek Beis it says, I wrote in Yabiyo Omer all these rayas that there shouldn't be a problem with where the watch is. It's all the way down by the wrist. There's no chatzitza problem in such a place. Anali kvod hagonza Sal ki hu savar shesha'on hayad mekom lemaila lefnei shivas hakricha shebezroa v'lochein kosev lahachmir. Chabina Rav said, that's where people wear a watch? I had no idea. Someone asked me about putting tefillin over a watch. I assumed it's worn up here, up on the top part of the arm. People wear a watch on their wrist? Oh my gosh, that changes everything, said the Chabina Rav in his conversation with Rav Avadya. So he would agree to be mekil. Ad kan toref divrei kacho v'hadur hu l'chol chasidav. So the Tribune Rav goes back to his cheskes kashas that he knows how to paskin a halacha, and it was just that he misunderstood where a watch goes. Teinish masatur v'sara chaim, says Rav Avadia. What a strange story. It's hard to imagine. Shemina Rav wrote a whole tshuva on wearing a watch and never bothered asking, where people wear a watch. You got to imagine that there was some tone of sarcasm that was missed in this conversation or something. No, I don't know. I don't know how this conversation actually happened. But this is what Rav Avadia writes. So Rav Avadia therefore concludes that even though someone wants to be machmir to remove their watch when they put on tefillin tavol of bracha, it's very wonderful and beautiful, but ein limchos b'misha mekel b'zeh. We can't have any tainas on someone's mekel on this because the halacha is kedivrei ha-matirim, and he says you should always be wary of too many chumras. And he says, it's yadua already that if a person takes on too many chumras, ultimately they're going to find it unbearable, and then they're going to end up being makel on things that are actually maker adin. So we shouldn't add extra chumras. The Prima Gadim in Mishpat Sozav Sivkan Dalet says that lechachila, af bekrichos nami ra'oi la'anichem al b'saro, u'b'shal rosh ma'ashatoli al b'gadav in la'achmi klal. That l'chadchila, we should remove any chatzitza, l'chadchila, from what's from our arm, but at least on the shal rosh, once you pass the kesher, so then it could hang over your clothing, obviously, the ritzuos will hang over your clothing, that's not going to be a problem at all. Rav Sternbach in Shuvas Van Hagos Chelk Beis, Simchavav, says that you should take off your watch even if the watch has a leather band. Right, you might have said, well, if it has a leather band, then for sure it should be okay, because then it's min bimino, and min bimino ain't a chotze. So if someone says, yeah, but you should try to be machmir, like that Avnei Nezer, that we're more machmir by chatzitzas of tefillin than real dine chatzitza. That we're even, so it's a double chumrah, to be machmir and not to have a chatzitza even on this part of the arm, even on the forearm and the wrist, and to be machmir min bimino ain't a chotze. L'chachila, that's what Sternbach suggests, l'chachila. So, when all the dust settles, la halacha, it's pretty clear that you're allowed to put on tefillin over a watch. The minhag is that you take off the watch because you might as well remove any chatzitza. It's similar to what the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch and some Kuf Tzadi Ches in Yaradeya, where we talk about a woman going to the mikveh. So we mentioned before that if it's a miut she'en, and it's lav dafka a woman, if a man has any halachic reason to go to a mikveh, the same thing would apply. It's just that nowadays, unfortunately, men do not have a halachic reason to go to a mikveh. But if we're going to allow, if you hold like those poskim that allow going on harabayis, for example, or something like that, so then you do have a halachic reason to go to a mikveh. Then you're going to bring karbanos one day by Hashem Bekarov, and you're going to eat truma if you're a kohen, so you're going to have halachic reasons to go to a mikveh. So then a man also has to remove all chatzitzas from the body. So the Rama writes that even though a miut she'eno makbid is not a chatzitza, our minhag is to remove any foreign substance, all foreign substances from our bodies before we go to the mikveh. Even a miut she'eno makbid. So it would stand to reason by tefillin also, just as a l'chadchila, that would be the practice to remove any foreign substance from the arms. You could argue, there's a machlokas of Moshe and of Soloveitchik about, that you're not supposed to be mafsik between the bracha on the shal yad and the bracha on the shal rosh because the bracha on the shal yad may go on both of them. Certainly, if Sfarim believe in Ashkenazim, that the bracha on the shal yad may go on both the shal yad and the shal rosh, so you're not mafsik. So there's a Rav Moshe used to try to do it as quickly as possible. So what would he do? He would tighten the shal yad, do like two or three winds, and then put on the shal rosh, and then go back and wind the shal yad properly to create as short of a hefsek as possible. Because all he needs to do is fasten the shal yad in place. Rav Soloveitchik followed the minhag of the entire Soloveitchik family, which was the minhag of Reb Chaim, which was to put the entire shal yad on, including the krichos around the finger, and then stick the end in, tie it tightly, do the entire shal yad, and then put the shal rosh on. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? So my friend Rabbi Reuven Mendelitz said, Pashtus is, the Nekudas HaMachlokas is, what's called tying it in place? Is that first wind tying it in place? Or do you say, no, it's not really held in place until the end of the Ritzua is tucked in and is actually in place. So Moshe held just that first wind is what ties it in place. Whereas the Soloveitchik family holds that no, it's only when you actually put the full end of the Ritzua inside, only then is it really tied in place. So that may happen afkamin over here also. Because if you hold, like we said before, like the Shita, that you can't have a chatzitza not only by the actual bias, but by whatever holds the bias in place. So then we have to discuss what holds the bias in place. Is it just that first wind, or is it everything? So if it's everything, then you would want to take the watch off. Rav Shachter told us that once Rav Soloveitchik was putting on his tefillin regularly, and someone came over to him, a young person came over to him and said, Rav Soloveitchik, I noticed that you tied your tefillin around your fingers before you put on the shalrosh. But the halacha is not that way. The halacha is that you're supposed to put on the shal rosh and then you tie the tefillin around your fingers. So he's going to sit there explaining to him his grandfather Shita. The guy was not married. So he said, oh, sorry, I forgot. Okay, so that that was the quickest way to end the conversation. That he just said that he forgot. He didn't forget. The Rav Shachter told me once that he was talking to a guy who had just gotten remarried, and his wife had a child from the previous marriage, and the guy was so angry. He said, this child, he's such a shagetz. He keeps his watch on when he puts on his tefillin. And he was like, oh, Rav Shach said, there's nothing wrong with that, la halacha. And also, probably a really bad idea for you to like start getting angry about little things. You know, it's probably not a great start for a new marriage. A step-parent relationship is complicated enough without you overcomplicating it. So, but he didn't think la halacha. He didn't think that it was a problem bechlal to keep the watch on. Okay, so lechadchila, we try to be machmir to remove it, but it's not something that's required the halacha. Ooh, that was a lot longer.